on February 14th, 2011. This is Pulling You, number 40. Environmental factors, we are up to day 6 on penalty doubles. And am I seeing red or is Valentine's Day on my mind? Well, I hope it is on yours also. Glad to have you here. So let's go ahead and begin. We'll start off by reviewing factors 1 through 5 and 6 through 10 that we've been discussing the last several days. Okay, 1 through 5, first we started with our law of total tricks. That is where we counted to the number of total cards that we had in a trump suit when we were bidding with partner, and we typically bid it up to that level. So if we have 5 and 4, we typically would bid up. 9 would be a 3-level contract. Obviously, we take a look at vulnerability, and we saw a classic example of that on our last exercise. Next, hand shape. We like shapely hands, don't we? And so if we have a 5-4-3-1 hand, or a 5-5-2-1 hand, or even a 5-4-2-2 hand, we like that better than a 5-3-3-2 shape, or worst off, 4-3-3 shape. No doubletons. Next off, double fits. When we and our partner have fits, magical things can happen. Over and under, we like to have our tennises behind our right-hand opponent, not our left-hand opponent. And the vulnerability. Vulnerability is always a key. We get bonus points for making our game contract, and if we get set and are vulnerable, bad news, especially when doubled. Number 6 through 10. Started off with working honors. We like it where our honors are connected in the suits. The worst possibility is an ace, king, jack, all in different suits. Wouldn't you like to have those all in one suit? Sure. Next, direct versus pass-out seat. When we make a bid in a competitive auction, and we are speaking competitive auctions here, we would rather have the bid in the direct seat, meaning we have some extra points. When we're in the pass-out seat, sometimes we have to hustle. We have to borrow the so-called nebulous king from our partner to keep the auction alive. Past hand bidding. Well, when we're a past hand, we've limited our hand to something less than 12 points typically. Overcalls. When we overcall, we may have 4 points less than when we open the bidding. We open with 12 to 21 points typically, and we overcall with 8 to 17 points. And the primary versus secondary honors. Don't we all love aces and kings? Those queens and jacks, those quackers, are kind of questionable. They are slow tricks. Okay, number 11. Analyze the opponent's bidding. Well, of course, when we get more advanced in the game, we need to look beyond our 13 cards and think, did one or both of the opponents pass? Did they open or did we open? Did they overcall? Did we overcall? How about sign-off bids? Did they do an invitational bid? These are all important things to think in terms of when we're wanting to compete. When they're both past hands, and you and your partner bid up to the 2 level, and then they come in at the 3 level, well, wait a second, they're both past hands and they're bidding up at the 3 level now? Something's wrong here, isn't it? And when we have one opponent called the proverbial walking the dog, you know, this is where one player's got a long suit and they bid slowly again and again and again, you kind of wonder, did they have a real strong hand? Or they have a somewhat preemptive hand, but they're not bidding it preemptively. Sometimes we have to be careful for these crafty opponents that do the walking the dog bidding. In our exercise today, we'll actually have an example. And then the shape. Are we over and under? Those things we spoke about before. There are so many environmental factors that go along with this and analyze the opponent's bidding. Do we have the primary honors? Do we have quite a few secondary honors? Are they in their suit? Do we have a 3-card suit in their bid suit? All these factors matter in terms of analyzing the aggregate bidding at the table. Let's take a look at an example. One of the opponents pass. You open one club. The other opponent to your left goes one heart, and your partner goes one spade. Next, your righty passes again, and you bid one no trump. You do not have 4 spades, and you have some heart stoppers, so you're just going to go ahead and bid one no trump. Then your lefty bids 2 diamonds. It looks like they have a red hand too. Maybe they're thinking about Valentine's Day also. They've got 5 hearts, they've got at least 4 diamonds, and they're wanting to compete. Then your partner bids 2 spades. Well, your partner made a free bid, didn't have to bid in the seat, and ought to have 6 cards in that suit or a very good 5. Don't need to rebid with a 5-card suit. So it looks like we've got 6 cards in spades by partner, the master suit. Great. Oops, what's this? Now all of a sudden your righty comes in with 3 hearts, Why didn't they bid two hearts before? This auction smells a little fishy, doesn't it? This might be a time to double. You've got some hearts. Then again, maybe you do have three-card spade support, and you would want to go ahead and bid again. Interesting auctions. Here again, don't look at just your partner's bid. Think about the meaning of your left-hand opponent with all those red cards, and now for some reason, righty comes in at three hearts. Why they didn't before? Okay, let's take a look at environmental factor number 12. Be careful not to push the opponents to game. When you have a very shapely hand, they do, and you can sense that they're going to go on to the four level when you bid your three spade bid. Be thinking about what happens if they go to four hearts. Are you going to go to four spades? Important things to think about. When one side has a long suit or both sides have a big fit, you and your partner, things to consider. Also, all these other environmental factors we've been speaking before, the over and under, the primary secondary honors, the vulnerability, are the honors working, and so on and so forth. And consider the opponent's style. Are they the ones who are likely to go to game, or are they a little bit more conservative bidders? We'll talk about your partner in the same as well. And finally, that risk-reward factor. Who's vulnerable? Who gets the bonus? Who gets the big penalties, especially if there's a double? All right, number 13. How about the opponent's tells? Bridge is not a poker game. We're not supposed to give tells deliberately, but if the opponents make a tell, we're allowed to make inferences from them at our own peril, but we can still take a look and decide what we want to do. So, did they hesitate? How about gestures and their mannerisms? Did you see something in the course of a bid? How about hitches, twitches, and attitude? Did they have a little funny gesture somewhere during the course of the bidding? Did they move at the table, the way they took their seat, the way they looked around? Did they have attitude? Could you see things in their manners and gestures that were just a little different than normal? We need to be careful not to make too much inferences, and we certainly can't do it on behalf of our partner. We're not allowed to take inferences on our partner's bidding style. But the opponents, yes, consider these factors. The better the player, the more they will be watching. So even if you're not into this, just be aware, if you have a good opponent, they will be watching you. Number 14, the environmental factor, conventions in competition. Yes, folks, bridge has bridge candy, and it's known as conventions. So there are things such as a help suit game try. This is normally when you and your partner have a suit agreement, and then there is a new suit, lower suit, introduced at the three level, saying, partner, can you help me at this suit? I'm interested in game. I'm just not going to bid three of our known suit. Can you help me in this other suit? How about support and maximal doubles? We won't be speaking about those here, but there are some specialized uses of doubles where they bid a suit and then we use a double for a special meaning, not just for penalty. Interesting. Then there's another one. Our partner opens a major. Then there is a double by our right-hand opponent, and we bid two no-trump. Now, what in the world is that? Well, there's this Jordan two no-trump saying, partner, I can support your suit, your major. I have three, or some people play with four cards in the suit. So there are these special conventions for some that like to play them. How about a jump bid? What in the world does that mean? Your right-hand opponent bids one heart. You bid one spade, or double, one of those two bids. And then your left-hand opponent bids three hearts. Is that invitational? Is it a preemptive jump to interfere so your partner can't make a bid? What does it mean? Lastly, cue bids of opponent suit. Well, sure, we know that when we bid the opponent suit, it has some special meaning. Some play very special meaning, such as if our right-hand opponent opens one diamond and then I bid three diamonds, what in the world does that mean? Must have some special meaning, doesn't it? Well, some people it means I'm looking for three no-trump. If you have a stopper in diamonds, I want you to bid three no-trump. I've got a long suit. Obviously, it's not a major. It must be a long club suit. So some people play special meanings of cue bids such as those. How about number 15, partnership bidding style? Aha! Yes, we do have a partner across the table. We've been speaking a lot about the opponents. But we should consider things such as what is our or our partnership's style? Are we both aggressive? One of us conservative? Hopefully we're balanced when we play together so that we have a good aggregate approach to the ecosystem. Another would be, do you or your partner or the opponents Do they like to play poker style? In other words, do they take some risks? Are they sometimes inclined to bluff just a little bit? Maybe in a free bid seat. Interesting. How about flair? Some players just have a lot of, should we call it, charisma, style, flair, you name it. But some players seem to have a lot of confidence at the table. They not only bid that way, they play that way, and sometimes they can get the whole table to believe their style, their flair. Something we need to consider. And then, what about, yes, competitor issues? Such as, one of the opponents, are they kind of brash? Do they put their elbows on the table, lean forward, kind of look back and forth? Or is somebody intimidated at the table? This is part of the game. We hopefully don't do that, but there are those out there who have some, well, styles that require some adjustment. And then how about distraction? I must profess that I've been in this mode before. Sometimes you have a nice opponent. You're in a little chitty-chatty mode. You start bidding. You really need to be focused and be at the table. Being distracted is one of the things, at least I think I have to work on. I wonder if you do also. Okay, let's take a look at 11 through 15. Analyze the opponent's bidding. Not just yours, not just your partner's. How about the opponent's? Be careful not to push the opponent's too high into a game. Or goodness forbid, if you're doing a big sacrifice, pushing them into slam that they can make. How about observing the opponent's tells? Be careful, we're not always sure what they mean, but we should at least use it as information when we make our decisions on those close calls. Yes, conventions are part of our game. We don't want to focus too much. A lot of bridge is about play and sound hand evaluation, but there is a place for conventions, especially in competitive bidding. And lastly, knowing our partnership bidding style. Know thy partner as thyself. Okay, well, that's all for environmental factors 11 through 15. I've got one hand for our general members and then a couple more for our premium and ultra members. So let's begin. All right, bridge thrill seekers, hand number one, West is dealer. Everybody is vulnerable. So in hearts, 10, 9, 8, not much, but at least we like the fact that we've got some pushers. In spades, a stiff ace of spades is worth 4. In diamonds, ace, queen, jack, 4 times, a beautiful suit, another 7 makes 11. And ace, fifth of club, 15 points, nice hand. So you want to open one club? Well, hold on just a second. Let's talk about this. Consider one diamond. Now, why one diamond when there's 5 clubs? Well, we always want to be thinking ahead, right? We want to think about our rebid. If we bid one club, our partner goes one spade, our singleton suit. Do you want to bid one no trump? We like to have 2 cards in partner suit. Partner may only have 4. We have to be a little bit careful and think about our next rebid. Whereas if we open one diamond, our partner goes one spade, and then we bid 2 clubs, it sort of sounds like we have a lot in the minors, don't we? And we have 9 cards in the minor. Now, I would have no problem opening one club and rebidding one club if I had the diamond honors in the club suit. If it was ace, queen, jack, 5 times, sure, fine. Then I would rebid it as though it was a 6-card suit. But I don't much like the idea of rebidding a no trump when I have a singleton in partner spade suit. So in this hand, I think it's a little bit of forethought. And oh, by the way, if we start with a club, our partner bids a spade, and we bid 2 diamonds, that shows 17 points or more. We're breaking the barrier to the 2 level in a higher ranking suit than our 1 level. That shows a very strong hand. It forces partner to bid again. And if we end up in 2 no trump, we have 15 points, and our partner maybe just had a bare 6, 21. We're going to be not doing so well, because remember, we want 22 or 23 points to play at the 2 no trump level. So let's start with 1 diamond, okay? All right. North then. Well, it turned out North had the spades after that long diatribe. King, jack, and look at those cards 7 times. Definitely worth something, even though we don't normally count high card points beneath the jack. That's got to be worth something, doesn't it? At least a couple points. And it's almost a self-sustaining suit. Just looking at it, you can see that it's only going to lose 2 tricks in spades, even if our partner can't help much. So let's say at least 6, maybe 7 points. The king of hearts, we like that we have kings behind the opening bidder. Let's make it up to about 9 or 10 points. And with the king of diamonds, we're in good shape to start with 1 spade. Not 2 spade preempt, not 3 spade preempt. If your partner was a passed hand, a different matter. But in this environmental factor, we only need about 3 tricks from partner to make a game. We have 2 losers in clubs, 1 loser in diamond. one and a half in spades, one in hearts. Let's just bid one spade. Okay, over to East. Ace, queen, five times. Nice suit. Six, I think one for distribution, don't you? With ace, queen? Sure, it's got finesse opportunity. A stiff spade. No surprise there with our righty bin in it. Righty must have a fairly long spade suit. And diamonds. I like it. Our partner bid the suit. 97% of the time, they will have four or more. I'm not pulling this number out of thin air. This was circulated by some analysts, some statisticians who did a lot of mathematical studies. If your partner opens a diamond, they typically have four or more 97% of the time. So this is a good help. And we have some quackers and clubs, but guess what? They're connected quackers. That's worth something. Queen, jack, third. So we have nine high, I'd say one distribution. Let's go two hearts. Some of you will want to do a double, only counted as nine. If your partner doesn't have four hearts, you'll never find the heart fit. So I'm going to say two hearts. Over to South. Well, South, hey, we have four spades, don't we? So queen of spades, king of clubs, 5 points. Jack third of hearts, not worth anything, especially when they've bid the suit. Never like jack thirds. So do you want to go two spades, three spades? Hey, remember environmental factors. You go three spades, you're just tempting them to bid four hearts. And this hand has another big defect. You see it? Well, the honors are not connected, are they? They're bouncing all around. And if I can give it even worse, I will. It's a 4-3-3. It's a pancake hand. When this hand comes down as dummy, where's the roughing power? Not in clubs, not in diamonds, not in hearts. Let's just sign off in two spades. Okay, back over to West. West, you had 15 high. Now your hand gets even stronger with a singleton in their bid suit. Oftentimes we would count that as 3 points for distribution with good trump support, but our trumps are kind of so-so, aren't they? If the opponents have ace, king, third, and they play the ace, they play the king, then they play the third, all of a sudden we've got no roughs at all. And yet it's certainly worth more than 15 now. So I think we ought to go three hearts. In direct seat, this is invitational. For North, you would probably like to go three spades, but something happened. The karma in the universe just changed. Do you remember what it was? Yes, your left-hand opponent bid hearts. You like that you had kings behind your right-hand opponent, but when your lefty bids the suit, this is a big red flag, isn't it? This king of hearts isn't worth hardly anything at all. Had it been a one-heart bid, maybe the person only had 6 points and four hearts, but not now. Nope. Now this is the five-and-dime bid, right? They have five in the suit and 10 points or more. So I don't think we want to bid three spades. Here again, in direct seat, you're going to be pushing the opponents to bid four hearts. So I think just passing. Okay, back over to East. East, do you want to go for game? Well, your partner was in direct seat when they made this three-heart bid. Yeah, I think you do. I think you like the fact that you've got some nice diamonds, your clubs may be useful, and the fact that we've got ace, queen, fifth of hearts, which partner has supported. So four hearts it is. And four hearts ends the auction. Everybody passes. I hope there's no heroes who go to four spades. Going to go down a bunch. And vulnerable doubled. It would be very painful. So the opening lead would be, well, partner's bid a spade. We'd probably want to support our partner's spade with a low spade, the bottom of something. Six of spades is out. The stiff ace is played. A jack of spade. Well, what's this all about? Why the jack? Is that encouraging? Well, advanced players, when they see that there are no more cards in the dummy or that the dummy is going to win, they use this for a suit preference signal. Now, if you're not into that, it's too advanced, no problem. Just be aware your opponents might be doing it. This would be saying, I want a high suit of the remaining one. It wouldn't be trump, but of the two remaining suits, diamonds and clubs, wouldn't you really like to have a diamond with a king and you see the ace queen there? So this is actually a signal of partner. If you get back in, diamonds is my suit. If there were more spades, then it would be a attitude signal saying, yeah, I like spades. Let's do them some more. Anyway, ace of spades won the trick. And what should be played next? Well, we want to go ahead and start playing some trump, don't we? So a 10 of hearts is played. North smoothly ducks with a 2. To the queen, and it holds, so the finesse works. So we'll go ahead and play another round, get the ace off, and see if we can smother either the jack or the king. And everybody follows. Thank goodness it wasn't a 4-1 distribution. Happens one in four times. It was a typical 3-2 distribution. So on a rule of one, they've now got the top one, the top trump, so there's no reason to take it out because we have plenty of transportation back and forth. So we're going to go about our business. And what should we play over here from East Hand? We'll probably want to go ahead and try this club finesse, don't we? So we're going to go ahead and play a high club and see if we can tempt the king. The king does not come out. They smoothly played low. We normally only cover an honor with an honor when it's the last of touching honors, and we're not going to do it just yet. A 2, a 7 by north, and it looks like the finesse is working. The question is what to play next? And even more importantly, north, congratulations for not playing the 10. If you played the 10 in this scenario, then they're going to go ahead and get all of the club tricks. We normally like to play high-low from a doubleton sequence, but not in this situation. We don't want to let them know who has the 10. At this point, if we play the jack, it would be covered with the king to the ace, and they would probably be thinking the 10 is still going to be out there. So let's see what happens by not playing the 10. Very nice move. Well, sure enough, it was a low club, hoping they would go ahead and be able to catch the king on a doubleton. Well, it didn't happen. So that means the king has been promoted. Nice play not playing that 10 of clubs the first time around, North. Okay, so in with the ace of clubs. We want to do a diamond finesse? Well, we have to get over to the board, and how are we going to do that? Well, what are we going to play next? A club back, we give them the king. All right, now we can do always a rough to get back to the dummy, I suppose. And here was that diamond lead. You recall earlier there was a high spade, which said I want the higher of the remaining suit. Gave a 4 of diamonds, the top of nothing, to the jack, to the king. And rather than come back with a spade, which turns out to be a rough and sluff, they just come back with a neutral diamond play. The queen of diamonds is cashed out. And on the ace of diamonds, south goes ahead and does the final rough. At this point, there's nothing but trump left for East-West, who gets the last tricks. And in the end analysis, it's 10 tricks by East-West. They made their 4-heart game. Let's take a look and see what would happen if North-South went to 4 spades. Well, they're going to lose 2 hearts, aren't they? The king of hearts is definitely offside. And how about in spades? In spades, they're going to lose 1 spade. That's 3 tricks they lose. In diamonds, they lose 1. And in clubs, they lose 2. Down 3, doubled and vulnerable. 2, 5, 800. Not very good. So, yeah, they stopped. I like the fact that they tried to keep the opponents out. East, you did a good job of bidding 2 hearts here. You upgraded your hand a little bit with this ace-queen 5 times. And the fact that you did have secondary honors, the queen-jack, they were connected. They could have been worth something. In fact, if the 10 of clubs had been played, you would have got all of these clubs. You would have made 11 tricks, not 10. For those of you with the Premium and Ultra memberships, we have some interesting variations. On this variation, we're going to be having a nice 8-card suit, including the Ace of Spades that's going to be borrowed from West. And we're going to give up the King of Diamonds, and that's going to go over to West. This will be a lively auction. And on our third variation, we're actually going to be having 5 hearts over here with the West hand. So the King of Hearts is going to be on side. We'll make some difference. So for the Premium and Ultra members, we'll look forward to seeing you on the flip side. For everybody else, I hope you have a good day and a good Valentine's Day as well. Happy trails. See you on the flip side.